Hallelujah. Well, is everybody all right tonight? Are you sure?
Yes.
All right. You know, I just want to take a minute tonight and just talk about, talk to you about I believe God. Now, let me read from Acts 27, 22 through 25. Well, I better wait and let you turn there. Thank you. I go too fast sometimes, but I'll learn to slow down one of these years. All right, everybody found Acts 27, 22? All right. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, I believe God. That's an easy thing to say. It's a tough thing to do sometimes. You know, I believe God, it can mean many things. You know, a lot of people say, I believe God. Well, do they believe in God? Do they believe God can? Do they, you know, what is it that they believe? Do they believe God can if he wants to? Do they believe, are they saying, I believe God can if it's his will? You know, I believe God, that's a statement, but what do you mean by that statement? You see, actually, just the term, I believe God, the statement actually means that you've abandoned everything and acknowledge that your only trust is in God. Now, Paul did that because an angel of God told him these things. He said, therefore, sirs, I believe God as it was told me. Now, how come we can't believe God? Because it has been told us. This is God talking to us right here. In the Bible is God talking to us. We should be able to make the confession, I believe as it was told me, I believe God. Mark 9:23, we all know what that says. All things are possible to him that can believe. I believe God. You know, as you look through the writings of Paul, he made a similar statement to this at different times or in different ways. He would say it in different ways, but he was convinced that if he would believe God and speak, it would happen. He said, I believe, therefore I speak. He said it in different ways. Now, it doesn't do any good to make the statement, I believe God, if you're not completely sold out to trust God. You can't have any wavering back and forth. It either is or it isn't. You either believe in God or you don't. There is no middle ground. You know, you have to be completely convinced. I mean completely convinced. Now, most of you were probably like I was. When my mom had told me to do something and I just messed around and didn't do it. Now, I realize none of y'all done that, but I would. Take out the trash. Okay, Mom. 30 minutes later, I hadn't took out the trash. And when she would, and I would hear her, she would say, Kenneth Wayne. I didn't even wait for her to get to Hagen out. Because at that moment, I was completely convinced that I better get in there and get that trash outside. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody been there besides me? You know, she just called you Ken. Well, that's, you know, okay, that's good. Now, Kenneth, I got a little bit more, I listened, my ears got a little better. But when she had Kenneth Wayne, ooh. You know, I knew I'd done waited too long. I was thoroughly convinced at that time that she meant what she said. You ever been there?
Yes, sir.
I think we all have. To say, I believe God, you must say it without total, there must not, without total reservations of any kind. You know, you are fully convinced there is no reservations about the fact that it will not come to pass. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Well, somebody said, well, the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. But God said it. You can change it to that. Now, the enemy, the minute you start saying, I believe God, he is going to do everything that he can in the natural to get you to recount on your statement or retract your statement. He's going to bring people by and tell you why it can't be. There will even be somebody get up on the television and tell you why it can't happen. You know, they get up on the TV, some of these guys, these preachers, and they call us the faith camp, and they tell us, they try to tell you why we're all wrong and why it won't work. Anybody ever heard that on the TV? It's on there all the time. You know what? You have to get thick-skinned, and you have to get like a... You ever poured water on a duck's back? There's certain chemicals in those feathers that water does not soak into. It repels. It rolls, just balls up and rolls off. When the enemy starts bringing all kinds of accusations and everything, because you said, I believe God, you got to have that. It's just got to roll off of you. It cannot penetrate. See, we must establish we believe God. Now we've already, you know, most people, they've already done that. They've established that with salvation because there's no other way to be saved except to believe and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Romans 10, 9 and 10. You know. But then, you know, I believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking tongues. I believe that. You know, many people today, even some of the Pentecostals, are saying, well, maybe you can get the Spirit without speaking in tongues. Maybe everybody won't speak in tongues. Well, Acts 2:4 doesn't say that. Acts 2:4 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When Peter went down to Cornelius' household and preached and the Holy Spirit fell on him, what caused them to say that they received the Holy Spirit? They heard them speak with tongues. Is that right? You see, you've got to establish what you really believe. Now, there's a lot of people that believe salvation, and they believe in salvation, but that's as far as it goes. It stops right there. But I believe in receiving the Holy Spirit. I believe in healing according to 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes we were healed. Is that not what it says? I believe that. Has any of you ever taken English class? Has anybody here graduated from high school? We took English class. If you even went to the sixth grade, you took English class. And you learned about words, verbs, adjectives, adverbs. Now, we were healed. What is were? Is it past, present, or future tense? Then if we were something, then we is. Now that's not good English, but I want to get it to the present. Hello? See, I believe in the second coming of Jesus. Actually, it's the rapture of the church, really, I should say, instead of the second coming. Because at the second coming is when he comes back riding on the charger and, you know, and so forth. But, of course, I believe in the, what we call, it's the word rapture is not in the New Testament. That's what we call it, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16-7. Then the Lord himself shall ascend with a shout, the voice of archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds of glory, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe that. Now, there are many people that will tell me and give me all the theological reasons why it's not so. And I'll give them all the other side of the picture, which you can't. But that's whatever they say is not going to hinder me because I believe the Bible. I believe God. See, what I'm hammering at you tonight is we have to come to the point that this is what I believe and nothing is going to change me. I don't care who it is. I don't care what they're preaching. I don't care how many prophecies they give out. This is what I believe from the Bible. I want you to notice that I'm giving all the scripture. This is what I believe from the Bible. I believe God. Period. It has to come to that point. I believe God. You know, I don't know why we have such trouble with some of this stuff, because when we're making decisions in the natural, I mean, we become convinced that this is the refrigerator we should buy. Because we've checked it all out. We've read all the reports. Somebody try to tell us, this is it. Or this is the car we're going to buy. Why? You become convinced that is what you need. And it makes no difference what anybody says. That's what you get. Well, I think you ought to get this. What? So what? That's what you, if you want one, you get that. This is what I want. You know, we go to a restaurant with a group of people. You sit down and you look at a menu. Most of the time, you go to restaurants because you already know what you're going to order when you walk in the door. That's why you go to that particular restaurant. If you stop and think about it, you go to this restaurant for this type of food. You go to this restaurant for this. You know before you ever go in there what you're going to order. You're convinced. No, you ought to try this. Nope. This is what I want. Yeah, but I don't think you ought to eat. That's not good for you. Well, I don't care. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to eat because that's what I believe. See, you can believe what you want to. See, we've got to get to the point when they start coming at us of why these things shouldn't be. We got to be able to look at them and say, hey, you can believe what you want to, but I believe God. Come on now. We have to be that convinced. You know, man, God, it's early, but I'm already finished almost. This went faster than I thought it's going to. Y'all don't mind getting out early, do you? I really don't, but that's all right. Let me conclude with the fact the Apostle Paul said, I believe God. And then he made the statement, I believe God. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecuting, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Romans 8, if you want to go there. Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors for him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what he believed. Do you really believe that? And then, I believe what Jesus said in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe that. I believe God. I believe all that. What about you? You know, if we will believe God, it will get us everything from salvation to living a successful life with God. Everything we need, everything we want comes all the way back to the simplicity of I believe God. Jesus said it this way, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I believe that. I don't believe I have to live on barely get along street. I don't believe I have to go through life all beat down. I believe I can have abundant living. Hello. Abundant living is not being sick. Abundant living is having enough to meet your needs. Abundant living is enjoying life. See, we must establish, I believe God, and nothing or no one can deter us or get us off. I believe God. That's as simplistic of a message, I guess, that you can put together, but yet it is a very, very thought-provoking message. You stop, it's very profound, but yet it's simplistic. I believe God. Three words. But they are an emphatic statement. There's no hope so, maybe so, wish so, Shoulda, coulda, woulda, any of that. It's a solid, straightforward statement. I believe God. There's no way that anybody can look at that and say that you're not believing, that you don't believe God. I believe God. I believe that I'm the pastor of this church. See? See, somebody else says, I believe you are too. See, I got one member that really believes I'm the pastor. Thank you. Really, anything you do in life, you got to believe that you can and that you are. You got to believe that. I believe God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I believe God. There's just something out, you know, I've said it several times. There's something about that statement that causes something to rise up on the inside of you. Say it two or three times. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Anybody feel what I'm talking about down on the inside? It seems like as you begin to say that, the spirit on the inside of you begins to rise up. Why? Because you are giving power to that spirit that resides inside of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody stand up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've said to us in the Word. And tonight we believe that Word. And we boldly say, I believe God. And may each individual in this place grab a hold of this tonight. And may it become such a part of them that nobody or nothing can take it away from them. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you need to know him. Then you can say, I believe God. Or if you need to rededicate yourself to God, or you need prayer for anything, for any reason whatsoever. If you'll come down here, the ladies here, the men over here, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. Remember all of our announcements. Sunday morning be right here. I'm going to continue the series that I started the other Sunday on the real church. So come and be with us. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I believe God. I don't know about you. We'll see you Sunday morning right here.